Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
What world is going on here?
Bulldog, this is Men at Work.
Suddenly, why did you...
6'4", full of muscle.
Why did you play this straight all of a sudden? What happened to you?
You speak my language.
Come on.
He just smiled and gave me a Vegemite sandwich.
Thank you. You nailed it.
I come from the land down under. Ba 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 ba.
Thunder. Thunder. The end there.
Can you hear? Can you hear the thunder?
Oh, see, I was wrong.
You better run. You better take cover.
Oh.
Wow.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Ryan's Legacy, that one little line of harmony on that song, or part of it anyway, part of his legacy. League of Shopes and Dreams winner, year one winner, Ryan Country Gates, won it.
Threatening to quit if the Bills drafted a certain quarterback, right, and then actually quitting, I'm going to say coincidentally, anyways, a few months later, I think probably beats his harmonizing
that.
On the Men at Work jam there.
I forgot about that. I always forget about that. You're right. I totally take it all back. It's not even close to, it's not even a makeable argument.
Well, that ended quickly.
That is it. You're totally right. I'm dead. Joe is with us. Hello, Joe.
Hey, Shope, you were talking about Sabres constantly getting into contract situations and picking up contracts to get a trade that they want.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of seems like we keep on doing it over and over and over again. Like, we don't want to buy out this guy's contract because it's going to cost too much. So once we get him off of the payroll, we're going to bring this next guy up from Rochester. It's like with Molson. Molson was making way too much money, but, you know, he needed to teach Eichel how to do laundry, so they kept him on for an extra year. And then they make a trade with St. Louis, and they take on a bunch of other contracts that it's going to take another couple of years to get out of. And it's almost like, hey, we want to own a car, but we're going to constantly lease these players out from other teams before we could get these guys up from Rochester. And it just seems like an endless cycle of bad decisions with contracts and trades.
Yeah. Thank you, Joe. I mean, there are some differences. They made getting rid of Ryan O'Reilly job one last offseason, and that was debatable. Jeremy likes to say how, like, the Bills rebuilding stuff, and they're always talking about how they're rebuilding and it takes time. And Jeremy always likes to point out, guys, that was up to them. It was voluntary. They had and I've latched on to this point. It's right. Like, they were terrible when it started. The Sabres are a different story at certain points along mm-hmm. the way. O'Reilly, the same kind of logic can apply. They didn't have to do it. They decided that it needed to happen. And in turn, Sobotka, Berglund, right? So, and the player, the exact player in the NHL, arguably the Sabres need most, is Ryan O'Reilly, yep. who was on their team. They decided that had to happen. So, you know, the caller makes some good points there about contracts. I mean, you have different GMs too, and I don't know, like, I think Tim Murray would have been more, like, the Oposo contract was like, yeah, whatever. There's a Buffalo point here too. That I think Buffalo thinks we have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
LeSean McCoy, you know, like he's not coming. We don't really exist on the same level as other teams. They're not coming unless we do that. So Leno and different guys are Erhoff, right? Like there've been a lot. There's a Buffalo factor.
Yeah, there's a level of whether it's the way ownership talked. When they took over, which, by the way, is the official anniversary of that is 8 years ago today, it's not going to be a problem anymore. I'll drill another gas well. Drury and Briere leaving on the same day, like, that's not going to happen to us again. And so I think with that comes a certain level of expectation from the fan base, and there might even come with it a certain level of demand that the person in charge of the hockey decisions feels like, all right, well, my guy wants to spend money, so I guess I'm going to go, I should go do that. So I want to go get Steven Stamkos, and, you know, as in it as you could be, I believed that the Sabres were in that. I mean, they never got to the marketplace, but that they wanted to do that. But he decided to stay in Tampa. So, okay, well, where else can I spend $6 million? I mean, Stamkos would have been more than that, obviously. But still, where else can I spend some money? Okay, well, who's the next guy on the list? Does he fit where the game is going? Is it a good idea just because I didn't get Stamkos? I don't know. Does that get enough respect or consideration? Like, from afar, from here, from this seat, fine. Kyle Okposo is the next highest-rated free agent. Go get him.
Right. I was not here to say that was a bad idea.
Right. But someone in hockey, in the hockey department, maybe should pump the brakes. But nobody did. So, like, I'm not trying to rewrite history. It's just there's an eagerness to spend the money that the owner wants to spend. And I think maybe I don't know if we're at the end of that or not, but you can get yourself into a lot of trouble. And they have. I mean, the caller cites examples there. Molson was a horrible idea. Bringing him back was just what?
He was in Minnesota and a free agent, and they signed him on July 1, I guess.
5 years, $25 million. Like, that was a move. I don't know. Like, that never seemed like a good idea. Okposo felt like a better idea than that, and it has turned out pretty similarly as far as, like, you know, carrying around that money and what kind of production am I getting out of the guy.
Well, you have Eichel, and you have Dahlin, and you have Reinhardt, and I want to include him, and these are, you know, good things. They're also things that you only have because you were so bad. I mean, you only have them because you were so bad. So how much credit the Sabres deserve for having any of them can be debated. A couple of things from Twitter today on this day. So here we are. Like, there's a lot of anger and frustration, and it's the 8-year anniversary. A couple of things from Twitter that I want to bring up. One is, can you imagine the 8 years going worse? If you had any idea, like, you remember, if you go back to that day and that press conference and Gilbert in the audience and, like, Terry Pegula, and I want to win the Stanley Cup, and, like, the Sabres' reputation until that day for many years had been they were cheap. And that was over. So, you know, and most fans take their cues from, like, each other and, like, the kind of thing that just gets said the most often. And so that was the complaint. You know, people didn't even know what they meant by show the books when they were all crying, show the books. You know, what exactly do you mean? I don't know. Just show them. Why can't you just show them, Regis? So that was their reputation, and that changed that day. Can you imagine? How would it have gone worse than it's gone? They have had...
From a results standpoint, I don't think you can.
They've had 5 different head coaches in 8 years. They have had... I don't know what Pat LaFontaine was called. Pat LaFontaine is hired and, like, yay, and then he quits. Like, immediately.
Like, 3 months in, yeah.
He quits. Ted Black, he's crude and maybe unprofessional, and he's fired. And Murray is whatever he is. Same, I don't know, fired. Russ Brandon. Oh, no. Like, and then the Bills with Rex and Doug Whaley, and, like, what the hell? Like, how this is? They have had 17 people in 8 years. The Bills and Sabres. It's less for the Bills. It's 13 full seasons, including this hockey season. I counted, where you've had 17 different head coaches, general managers, or team presidents. Those, and it includes Russ Brandon once. It also includes Anthony Lynn. So, you know, cool it. All right. So that's one thing. It's like, could it really have possibly gone worse?
That's carnage.
That it has gone, and that's not like, we are not sitting here bringing that up on a day where everybody is like, whoo, it's finally good. This is a day where, like, F, we are not in the playoffs again. Right. We have the best young defenseman in hockey, one of the best young forwards in hockey, and we are still bad. How? One. Two. One guy wrote, and I think this is a good point. Don't we kind of feel bad about criticizing them? Ownership.
The Pegulas?
Yes. And you can criticize someone else for saying that because, you know, what's the difference? I mean, I think a lot of people are feel that way because the transformation locally has been profound. And you and I go to a sports bar to broadcast from on every home game that was a parking lot 5 years ago. Like, it was needed and welcomed, and it's a happy thing that the city is different in the ways that it's different. I think the Sabres, in a lot of ways, in terms of what the arena is like and what buying food and drink is like in the arena, is still like, I can't believe it. I can't believe this is Major League Sports.
They have a lot of ground to make up in that area.
Sure. I mean, I've got this running thing going with the, they don't know it, with the workers at concession stands where I've gone up to different ones like all season long, asking them if they know how I can get the season ticket holder discount. And they all say no. And then one the other night said, you can go to guest services. It's like, oh, do I need to do that? She's like, no. They all give you the discount, but no one has any idea how it works. So, like, this is just a thing that has been the Sabres for my whole life, it seems. Like, it's just like there's an obvious thing here that's lacking. So you feel bad. I think a lot of us just don't want to say it, or because where would we be without them, especially the Bills? Donald Trump would own the Bills? I mean, what? Oh, we'd be where? Like, just...
Oh my God.
Everybody's like, thank God that, well, you know, to a point, thank God he doesn't own the Bills. If he owned the Bills, he wouldn't. But still, like, that fear was a real fear that they individually quashed. They, like, no, the Bills are not leaving because we are here. And so, great. So I think this is like a popular point that, what do you really want to say? Like, it's just, but it has gone as badly. The Bills are on their third head coach in 5 years and second general manager. And who knows if they have a president? I guess Kim.
Right. Right.
She should be on this list. She counts. She's the president of the Bills.
18.
18.
Yeah. The president of the Bills and the Sabres.
Does
that count twice?
The natural progression is that eventually she is the head coach of both teams as well. And GM, and I mean, just like eventually everybody's just so inept that it just ends up, I mean, it's not funny.
No.
It's not funny.
No.
They have won the lottery. They have finished second. They've drafted second twice in the last 5 years, three times in the top two. And yet Ottawa has a better record since when? December?
Oh, I don't know how that works.
Ottawa, Edmonton.
Right. Yeah, there's only like two or three teams that are worse than Ottawa's one.
Well, okay.
But whatever. It's close, though. It's close.
Okay.
Yeah. Boy, for a minute there, when you said the thing about the president and the Bills, like that's been around for a long time, like almost since he became president, and I've never really spent even 3 seconds thinking about it, and I just did, and it was like staring at the sun. Like, just like... Don't do that. Just don't do that. Okay. So there. I just needed to say that.
Would they be gone already?
It hurts. It really makes my head feel like it's going to explode. I think it's right that, you know, most people, like, you know, most of the average fans who, you know, I try to keep in mind, like, that's mostly who we're talking to here. I think appreciate everything you just said, and probably find it pretty agreeable that they don't. The overall is still better than the alternatives, and you know the Harbor Center is a key element in that. The ownership of the Bills is a huge, huge part of that. I'm laughing not because it's funny, but because it's just the so much angst got removed that it's hard to remember what it was like. It hasn't been that long, but it was something we were walking around with every day, and it's just gone. And so now there's just like the standard level frustration, and that's frustration enough. But it's still not what it used to be. What it used to be was, this is awful, this is awful, this is awful, and oh my God, they're going to go! Like, that's gone. So there's not, like, that nuclear option anymore, which is a relief. So, you know, it makes it challenging to, you know, what do you want to do? Like, it's almost like for years, at some point, any conversation about the Bills would get to the owner, and that's a problem. He's a problem. The structure of the front office is a problem, and that's his doing. He's a problem. The Sabres, it was Golisano doesn't want to spend so much that he won't at least break even. The Reguses, I mean, that was a house of cards cable empire that crumbled eventually. So we've had this ownership problem, and, you know, they're not getting results. So do we still have an ownership problem? Like, we don't have a crisis in that they don't want to spend, or that we're worried about the team leaving. I don't know. They're both maybe going to be looking for new buildings here soon enough, and that could get interesting. But there's no real angst about their level of commitment. But there's still no proof that they're any good at any of this. Running the teams, hiring the people to do the things that need to be done to make the teams good. There's no evidence that they are any good at that at all or getting better at it.
They both have each team, the Bills and the Sabres, have one playoff appearance in the Pegula years that are their own story, their own interesting kind of fluky thing. The Sabres in 2011 were going nowhere. There was the sale, and they just won and made it to the first round and were a goal away from advancing. They did not. And then you have the, you know, Andy Dalton
right
thing. So, like, that's it. If Carolina gets in, it's the longest playoff drought in the league, and the Bills, of course, had the longest playoff drought in the NFL. The bottom line. Here is Mark with us. Hello, Mark.
Hello. How's it going, guys?
Good. Thanks for calling.
Your first-time caller.
We're fine. Go ahead, Mark.
Yep. I was just calling because, you know, I got today off from work. I heard you guys on the radio, you know, talking about the state of the teams and everything. I just tried to give you some perspective from kind of a younger fan that hasn't really enjoyed the success of the 90s or anything. But, I mean, I'm 27 years old, and my first memory of these teams was the Skate in the Crease and Music City Miracle. And I remember, you know, thinking, hey, they're in the playoffs every year. Like, we'll just be right back, and we're not. And it's just really frustrating, and I kind of, like, feel like I'm speaking for a lot of me and my friends by making this call. And I don't really know what the solution is because we've already went through a lot of coaches and everything. It's just a really, really frustrating time.
Okay. Yeah, thanks, Mark. Joe, you want to weigh in? You're a young guy.
I mean, I'm even younger than him. I mean, 27, like, I don't remember that late stretch in the 90s where they're in the playoffs. So to me, like, this is just the norm. This is the same thing.
That's right.
So to me, it's nothing different. I'm almost used to it at this point. When the Sabres go on those two runs, 05, 06, 06, 07, that's like me on the top of a mountain. I don't expect to be there, but it was that amazing. When the Bills make the playoffs in 2017, it's incredible that they made a wild card game and scored 3 points. Like, that was amazing. So to me, like, some people my age, our bars might be so low that
maybe you can more easily.
Right, this season especially, I think I'm going to be able to take this a lot easier than a lot of people because, especially me, I'm able to look at the big picture. I think I get to that pretty quickly. And, I mean, they already have more points than they did last season. So, I don't know. It's so easy to just bash them right now, and I'm definitely doing that. But I think at the end of the day, I'm going to look at the end of the season, just think, like, this is what I thought was going to happen. This is what I hoped was going to happen. Just be in meaningful games in the second half of the season. And I think they're still on track to kind of do that.
Do you think there's very little chance of a coaching change?
I think very little, yeah. If they kept playing, like, the worst team in hockey for the rest of the season and they end up with, like, 75 points.
Yeah, that's really bad.
Then I think it's definitely within the realm of possibility, but I think he's probably back to start next year at least. I have to guess at least.
They have changed so many times. I mean, like, 3 or 4 changes ago, it was, how can you keep changing? And then they changed 2 or 3 more times, and now it's like, here we are again. But I feel like there's not, I don't know why it's so necessary to keep him. Like, the reason I would keep him is because if I owned the team, I'd be so annoyed with spending money on guys I'm firing. And, yeah, like, I don't know, they're still young and not terrible, so I could justify it. I might want it for myself. But, I mean, hockey coaches, really? Like, you got to stick with a hockey coach? This is the if you had a good team right around now is when it would start being like, well, the message is getting stale. It would be kind of like getting late if you had a pretty good team. Let alone this. I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't feel like I have to do it.
We'll see where we go from here. Because, you know, these games, they're not like miles off. But this weekend felt significant for me for the coach. Like there are always these moments. And it's more, I think, it's easier to detect them in football seasons. Where it seems like Chan Gailey's fine, and then all of a sudden, like, you know, it's December, and suddenly it feels like maybe he's going to get fired. I don't know what happened.
Rex is kind of like that,
yeah,
too.
Right, yeah. And I had that thought about Housley, knowing what he said Friday, and I didn't think it immediately Friday. I thought, like, well, he's hot, and he's calling his team soft, and, like, this is a moment here. Let's see what happens. Then they gave you last night. And he's making excuses for them. And I don't know. Those things don't, they can be completely independent of one another. I kind of doubt that they are, but they could be. And I'm curious to see what transpires from here. But I feel like the last 72 hours are pretty significant for him.
I don't want to go as far as to like accuse him of doing this as strategy, so please know that. But you know what one thing you do? When you on a Friday say my team did not try hard and did not give a good enough effort, and then on Sunday you're like, this time they did, and really most of us are going, what's the difference? You're playing a bad team. It's close in the third period. You're behind. You lose by three. What the coach is kind of doing, whether he means it or not, is like, see, I did my job. The effort was, it just wasn't our night. When you say, as he did, that's a quote. When you say it wasn't our night, you make it sound like luck. Yeah, just didn't get the bounces. And often it is. It often is, too, when you win. It was when he didn't say, you know, maybe he did. But, like, you're likelier to say that when you are on the short end of that. If you look at the Ranger game and say, we did not try hard enough, and then you look at the Devil game and you say, we tried hard enough. I mean, I don't know. I don't even know how you're supposed to even be able to measure that at all. Is that all the players? Is it half the players? Is it three players? What you're also saying, whether you mean to, is, well, I accomplished something as a coach. We fixed it. I fixed it. I told you we were soft, and then we were tight, not soft. And it's still a loss. I don't care if he thinks they were soft or not. I don't even want to know.
To me, if that were true, that to me inherently is a problem in itself, that you think that you're being judged mainly on effort. That's like,
yes.
I don't want to be there with that team. I can get Ted Nolan to get guys to try hard, but I'm looking for max utilization of these players.
Exactly.
And if he, and like you said, you're not assuming it's true that he did that, and I'm not assuming it's true either. But if he did, he's in the mindset of, my job is being judged on how much I'm getting these guys to try on a night-to-night basis.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're making like the next point, which is, I think, the right point, but once you say soft, the next game, the media goes, that's a hot word. When you say soft, the next night, the media goes, did you think they were soft? If he says yes, you can't. Obviously, you can't motivate them. So you don't want to say yes two nights in a row to that question. Whether you think it or not, you don't want to do that. Because then it's like, well, why do we have this problem?
Right.
Sports. After this, 803-0550, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Zach, you guys are last in the East since January 1st. Is this kind of who you are at this point? A month and a half stretch. I mean, do you guys even feel you're in a playoff race at this point?
Yeah, we are. We do.
Do you have any? Do you feel there's any signs to show you can beat it? You haven't won two in a row in 2 months.
Yeah. We're confident in each other. Are you?
No, that's what I'm asking you. You say you're confident in each other. What makes you think that this team can pull something out?
Because of the guys we have in our room. I know the character that we have in this room. That's what I believe in. I believe in every single guy in here.
Okay, here's my question. Mike Harrington in the news probing Zach Bogosian right there. Do you think Bogosian believes what he's saying? Like, really, now we're going to point to the Sabres' character as the reason to have faith? Like, the character? A pretty good player got run off. I mean, I don't know. I don't know about character. I don't even know what I'd point to.
Yeah, I think he believes it. Yeah, I think guys. I think guys on a team. I think he totally believes it.
For that reason.
For what reason?
Character, not like talent or.
Oh,
like, does he think like are the Sabres are the Buffalo Sabres are of exceptional
no,
character?
Okay, I'm sorry. I don't know. I think he means what he's saying about believing in the guys. Are they going to make it because of that? I mean, I don't know. I'm almost separating that from the connectivity to the bigger question about can you make the playoffs at this point. I think he's being honest about his assessment of the guys on the team. I don't know about whether he thinks they can make it because he likes the guys.
I know, and I don't mean to be asking you this, but exactly how is this team of exceptional character? Like, how has this group of players impressed Zach Bogosian in this way? What, do they get to work early and leave late? Are they none of them drinks? Like, what is it about this group of players that, like, you got to believe in this? Our results, yeah, our talent, but the character. Come on. I mean, I would believe Bogosian if his knee-jerk reaction to that isn't the character of the players. He's got teenagers we're talking about. Character that, I mean, what? I could give you an answer to that, but it wouldn't be that answer. I don't really believe in them, though. I mean, when the reporter says, you guys haven't won two games in a row in months, well, that's a fair point.
Yeah.
Well, you put it that way.
Yeah, my belief is eroded. I mean, I don't have anything left. Friday really took a lot out of me. To the point where yesterday was just sort of like, okay, whatever. I mean, I'm going to finish this homestand 3-3-1 is what the 7-game homestand was. I played a couple of good teams in there, but mostly no. Just very, very disappointing weekend.
Two regulation wins in that stretch, Detroit and the Islanders. Chris is with us. Hello, Chris.
How you doing, guys?
Good, thanks.
I have been hearing everybody talking about getting rid of Housley, and honestly, it reminds me of the whole Bielsma thing. We have maybe five talents on offense. Our depth is absolutely terrible. Our defense is hit or miss. They come in with 100% or they come in at about probably 30.
Effort.
And every, what's that?
You mean effort?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And we see the potential, but the team isn't getting together. And then we have the problem with coaching, which I don't believe that Housley is a bad coach. And I feel like there's some dissension between the coaching and the players.
Do you think if a team gives 30% effort that reflects on a coach?
It could.
I mean, I don't even know how you can tell how hard the players are trying, but...
It is hard. I agree. It is hard to tell.
I would never claim to be able to do it. I mean, I hear about effort from coaches who are... He's standing behind the players. He's got better access. I hear it from fans constantly. I have never watched an NHL game and thought... This team is giving a great effort, or this team. I mean, I can't say never, but it almost never happens. I guess a long time. If you get beat like 8-2 some night, and, you know, everybody's talking about how your coach is getting fired, there would be games. There are games like that in history. But, right. You know, damn. Like, how often can you really watch an NHL game and go, so, Bulldog, you watch hockey 7 days a week?
27-year-old that called in and said how everything was terrible, and I am 30 and have been a fan forever, and this is the most exciting the team's ever been. And it seems like they are trying to pull together. But then with the coaching thing, getting rid of Bielsma and then having Housley in there and saying that the team's not following him and can't pick up what he's trying to say is just, I just don't get it.
Okay. So how many times do you think you watch an NHL game and go, one team isn't trying?
Almost never. I mean, almost never.
It's not the same thing as poor execution. It's not effort. These guys are incredible players. They are machines. Sure, there are players and moments, but man, the way effort is just, you would think it's just like whether it's the, you think effort is the weather or something. It's just omnipresent in these analyses of NHL games. Announcers do it. Fans are always doing it. Coaches are doing it to explain why their teams won or lost. Really? Like, is it unified? One team is trying, one team is not trying. It's not just a few guys. Like, how do you even discern that? How can anybody even tell? The pass missed, maybe that was an effort. Maybe that was like you're bad at passing or you just missed because you're a human being. Like, oh, it's exhausting.
It is. Boy, the caller did just say something that just sort of just piqued my interest. I mean, I don't know how significant it is, but it five. They have maybe five talents on offense. You know, and talents is questionable. Like, you know, what is that? Like, what is Tage Thompson? Where does he fit into that? Like, is he someone that has to be on your team right now? No. Is he someone that could work himself into that role within a year or so? Yeah. But, like, right now, I mean, it's Eichel, Skinner, Reinhardt.
Rodriguez.
Mittelstadt. Rodriguez is okay. But
well,
like,
no, talent is your word. I'm
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, I mean, like. What you know?
He's okay.
Yeah, I mean, I like him, but I can find a guy. I should be able to find guys all over the league that can do what he does for me. Like, I don't know. Like I don't. Where am I? You know. Like I think about this with the Bills a lot. Like how many guys have I got that I'm building around moving forward? Like the Sabres right now. I mean, it's pretty thin. You dress 12 forwards. I count four guys right now that I just absolutely got to have. I don't know. That's not a lot. I mean, again, that I like Rodriguez. I like Thompson. I like, you know, but there's not.
Will you try something?
There's not a lot there.
Go to the good teams and do the same thing.
Right. I know.
Because the good teams don't. And you have to remember, like, Braden Point, for example, in Tampa Bay. Is he that good? Or is he on Tampa Bay? And he's Thomas Vanek leading the league in plus minus.
I think he's that good.
Okay. Well, maybe he counts then. But and Tampa Bay is also much the best.
Right.
Go find the 10th best team in the NHL. How many of their forwards do you have to have? They're going to have a half dozen guys that do not qualify. You have any chance of being
sure, there. At least. Yeah, I think that's probably right. All right. I mean, it piqued my interest. I'm sitting here looking at the stat page, so like I count them up.
And those teams' top guys are maybe not as good as my top guy. I mean, maybe they're as good as my second best guy, but not my number one. I want to make a different hockey point, a happier one.
Well, then what the hell is going on here? You know, like, what is going on here?
Okay, well, I'll say this. I'll dare to say this. I'll save my other thing. Rodriguez, you know, okay, talent. I don't want to put him down. I really like the player. We had him on last week or the week before. Like, this guy could play for the Patriots, I think. His numbers reflect that, too. He's in the right place at the right time. He can finish sometimes. He's not elite. But, okay, he wasn't drafted, and you've got him. I think you're glad to have him. Can you coach other players to be that? Is that what a good coach does? Does a good coach turn other guys that maybe just are okay and they drift and they don't really focus on their responsibilities or whatever it is that like they're just sort of meandering along in their careers and is like, no, here. And they can get through to them and those players become Evan Rodriguez, who is what? I mean, are you ever paying him $5 million a year? No. But he has value. And I think that is a big area for the Sabres that they have been failures at. Flat failures at. And I think the reason why is they don't know, relatively speaking, they know more than the average guy in the street, but they have not been good at understanding what value is. You mentioned Molson before. Holy cow, is that ever a good example of this? You know, bringing him back at that price from Minnesota. And in a month, you knew that that was bad.
Yeah.
In a month, you knew that. Like, that's their job. That's the GM's job, is to understand what that value is and to try to predict the league, which is where Oposo comes in. I don't think that's easy to do. But that is part of the job, right? Who was the guy on the show last week that said about, like, the Bills trading out of Patrick Mahomes? Or, no, it was Mike Dempsey from Jacksonville. You were off. And he was talking about Bortles not picking Mahomes or Watson. And he goes, and this is not a point I make, but you can make it. He said, okay, well, you had Bortles and you did some other Leonard Fournette, so you didn't end up at Mahomes or Watson. And you can say what you want about that, but at the end of the day, your job is to know what's going to happen to Mahomes and Watson. Like it or not, like that is your job to know that. You've made that point about that situation with the Bills before. Like, Shope can tell me all day that you can't predict these guys, but that kind of is your job to do that. Your job rides on being able to do that.
Right.
Going to tell you about my daughter playing goal.
Eventually.
Time. She's seven. We should have time.
Yes, I think we'll have time.
Hopefully we'll have some time here. Paul Hamilton in 15 minutes. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.
Sorry. We got a pair of tickets right now to go check out Nick Mason, the Saucer Full of Secrets. This performance will be Tuesday, April 12th, 7:30 p.m. at Shays Performing Arts Center. Minimum value of this prize is $100. Comes courtesy of Live Nation. General contest rules apply. Caller 5-644-9878. Don't miss Nick Mason. This is the original drummer from Pink Floyd. Tickets and info at shays.org.
Bulldog's son is a goalie, an accomplished one, and headed for big things. My daughter is playing hockey for the first time this year, Buffalo Bisons. On Sunday morning, yesterday morning, they came into the room and they said, anybody want goalie today? And she's kind of shy, but I just heard her say it. I'll do it. She sort of raised her hand very meekly. She never would have gotten it. I'm like, my daughter will play. So she got picked. So she puts all the gear on. I put the pads on backwards at first, and we changed that around. Yep. She goes out there.
I did that, too, the first time.
Did you?
Yes.
She goes out there. She didn't face very many shots, but, you know, she got through it, and it was cute. So after the hockey, actually today, I brought it back up, and I said, I know you like it. What did you like about it? She said two things. What are they?
Wearing the gear is cool.
She did not say that, but that is a good guess.
Yeah.
Putting on all the stuff. She must have liked that.
But yeah, okay. Not having to skate around.
She liked having pucks shot at her.
Okay. That's good and weird.
And she liked being on the ice the whole time.
Oh, okay.
And I said, well, she didn't get to skate around very much. She said, I really don't care about that. I just like being out there.
That's interesting, because she's a good skater.
She's a good skater.
For her age, I would say.
Yep.
Well, that's cool. Yeah, the gear. I'm glad she liked it. The first time Owen had played at that, like, it was a different level than you're at, but still it was mites. It was everyone took a turn, and it sounded like a great idea, and then he did it, and it was, like, really hard to get up and down and move around, and he hated it the first time he did it when he was maybe 6 or 7 years old. Like, that was not what I thought it was going to be. So it's cool that she did it and she enjoyed it.
She had no idea what she was doing, and she would often, unlike other times when she's played, she would often turn and look at me, and she can't hear me. So I would try to demonstrate the move, and I sort of, like, I'm sitting, and I sort of jumped up and landed my feet and my hands on the table at the same time, like, to make a move, like, just sort of, like, go on all, put your hands down and your knees down or something all at once, and, like, cover the puck like that, and she figured that out. She could not figure out how to hold the stick the whole day, but she figured out to, when the puck would come near, she would drop down and try to cover it with her hand.
Yeah.
That was her move.
That's awesome. Well, I'll be curious to see where that goes from here. If she volunteers for goalie again next week, then you might have a situation on your hands.
Her last session is tomorrow night for this run, and she wants to play it again. She's got to earn it, but I think that'll probably happen.
Good.
Paul Hamilton from Florida. All this new Sabres drama that's really not that new. In fact, it's our whole lives, it seems. I talked to Paul about last night and Kyle Poso, and there's some news about him today. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, that's next on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.